Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
How many of you here would say, agree with this? You know what? I believe in the power of prayer, but I don't pray as much as I should. Come on, let me see your hands. You're in church. Don't lie in church. Come on. All right, man, a majority of hands have gone up in this place. If we know that God is good, and if we know that God answers prayer, why then do we not pray like we should pray? And I think that there are several reasons, there are several answers to that question, and one of the big ones is that some people honestly don't really know how to pray. You know, they lack some confidence, and this might have happened to you. You know, you're like, man, I'm going to get a fresh start. You know, it's January 1st, or it's 21 days of prayer in the fall. I'm going to get a fresh start in this, and you get started, and you think, okay, God, am I doing this right? Anybody ever thought that as you prayed? Am I kind of saying the right things? Am I doing this? Some people, and so that's some people's challenge. Another group of people, they don't pray because quite honestly, they get bored. They get bored. Anybody here ever fallen asleep while praying? Oh, come on, don't lie in church. Come on, it's like, God, would you please? And then you're like, and it's kind of rough, right? I mean, how would that scenario play out with your spouse? You're talking to your spouse, and just like the next second, you're just sleeping. Some of you have done that too. We're going to have that series in February, okay? So don't worry, that series is coming. So other people, others, they struggle, and they tend to do a lot like I do, and that is I have really great intentions, but I tend to be a little bit ADD when I pray. Anybody kind of ever been there, right? You know, like I'm pressing in, and I'm like, man, I got the music playing, and I've got nice prayer music on. I've got all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, forgive me. You know, though my sins are like red stains, you wash them away, and you make them white as snow. And then I'm like, red? Red? Now that I think about it, I'm really hungry. Red Robin, yum. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry, Jesus. Where did that come from? And then if you're like me, you get so frustrated because how could I lose focus in just one sentence? Just one little moment. Right? Then there's others of us, we come, you know, in our life groups, or maybe it's pre-service and we're in a group setting. How many of you here have ever gotten intimidated when somebody prays really good? Come on, let me see your hand. Like, you've been intimidated, because there's, like, people that can pray, right? You know, like, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's like you have Moses' little brother in your life group, right? Or Moses' little brother is leading the prayer of huddle, right? And you know, they start like this. He's like, dear God, duh. And just like that, you know it's going to be good, right? I thank you that you said in Deuteronomy 28 that we're going to be a blessing coming in and going out and we're the head and not the tail in the name of Jesus, right? Come on, I can preach Pentecostal, right, if that's what you want. And they're just calling down angels and they're binding the devil and all this amazing stuff, and we're just sitting back there and we're thinking, man, that's real good. If I was God, I'd definitely answer their prayer, right? Some people, there's other people, I don't know if you've been around in church at all and spent any time in prayer meetings, they can even get competitive in prayer. Maybe you've thought that, man, I can't let that guy outpray me. I can't let that lady outpray me. And so then you just start to lay in it. You're like, Jehovah Nissan, you are so good. God, you are good to the last drop. You're like a good neighbor, always there, right? Like, man, you're just getting into it. I love your word, oh Lord. Your word is so good, it melts in my mouth and not my hands. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving you, Jesus. Some of you are like, man, I need to take some notes on this. This is a good prayer. We laugh, but if we're honest, most of us have tried everything to not feel inadequate in our prayer life. And so I want to pose a real serious question to you this morning as we begin. It's the first blank in your sermon outline. I encourage you to take that out. Follow along with us. If God answered every prayer that you prayed last week, would the world be any different? In other words, how many of us didn't pray at all? How many of us have gone days, weeks, months, possibly even years without really talking to God? And here's what I want you to hear this morning. I'm not trying to guilt anyone or put any condemnation on anyone. Listen, God wants a response in every situation and in every season to be pray first. Pray first. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to share things with you. He wants to answer your prayers. And so my goal in this message this morning is that you would leave here equipped and perhaps re-inspired to pray once again with passion, or maybe for the first time ever in your life, to pray and seek God with passion. You know, this book has so much to say about prayer. There are 650 prayers recorded in this book and around 450 recorded answers to prayer found in the pages of the Bible. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is recorded praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry. On 41 occasions, the Apostle Paul mentions various forms of prayer. Some of the forms of prayer that you'll read about as you go through the pages of this book is that in the book of James, you can read about the prayer of faith. There's a prayer of agreement, which is also referred to as corporate prayer, that we find in the book of Acts. There are prayers of request, which are also known as prayers of petition or supplication. There's the prayer of thanksgiving that we read about in Psalms. There's a prayer of worship. There's a prayer of consecration, also known as a prayer of dedication. There are prayers of intercession and praying in the Spirit. All of these different kinds of prayer we find in the Bible, and there are many different types, and each of them have a specific purpose for different situations. But listen, regardless of the type, prayer is an essential component of our spiritual journey. In fact, Martin Luther said it this way: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Psalms 34:15 tells us the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. Listen to this: his ears are open to their cries for help. And so if you're pursuing Jesus wholeheartedly, you don't have to wonder if he's listening to your prayers. That should give us great reassurance. This verse assures us that God is in tune with our lives and he is eager to hear the prayers that we pray. 1 John 5:14 tells us this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so God delights in answering prayers that align with his will, but how do we know what his will is? Have you ever wondered, God, what in the world is your will? I mean, I want to do your will, but what is that? I want you to know that the most reliable way to learn his will is by reading his word. That's one of the reasons we talk every single month about soaping. And soaping is our journaling app that you can go through with us. You can ask any of the workers out in the foyer after service. We can explain it to you in more detail. But as we seek God through his word, we begin to understand his heart. And we gain wisdom and we gain spiritual insight. And what happens so often is as we pray, it reminds us of what we've read in this book. And as we read this book, it drives us and it leads us to pray. And so James 5:16 tells us the earnest prayer of a righteous person, it has great power and it produces wonderful results. And if you're anything like me, there have been times in my life where I've wondered, God, is my prayer accomplishing anything? But James tells us that it's not only powerful, but it is effective. I believe that our prayers are one of the very few things, maybe the only thing, that will outlive your time on earth. Because I believe that when we pray, there are things that are set in motion that are not bound to our flesh and blood. And we can pray over things, and there are miracles recorded of people that have prayed over things, and after they passed, the miracle came to pass. And so prayer, it changes situations. Prayer changes us, and I want you to know God hears your prayers. And so then, well, why do we struggle to pray? And I want to share some ways that we can be more effective in our prayer time. And so I encourage you to follow along with us. There's some fill-in-the-blank notes. Take some notes with us. Here's the first thing that we need to do. Number one is we need to pray with the right motives. Pray with the right motives. So many of us get frustrated because it seems like all God ever says is no, right? Am I the only one who says, man, God, do you ever say anything besides no? Right, we get to that place, but if we're to step back, if we were to just to remove ourselves from our situation, if we would do an honest inventory, so many of our prayers are rooted in selfish and self-centered desires. Because God is wise and loving, like any good parent, He will not answer prayers that will harm us or harm others. Listen to what James said in James chapter 4, verse 3. He warns us, and even when you ask, you don't get it. Why? Because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Listen, you can even pray for the right things and still not get results because you have the wrong motives. Let me give you an example. I can get down on my knees and I can pray, in my prayer time. And I can pray, God, would you just let the Lifeway grow? Lord, let many people attend service each week. That could be my prayer. But the question is, what is my motive? Is my motive because I want to look good on social media? Is my motive for growth because I want to be recognized as a great pastor or as a great leader by ARC? Or is it because my heart breaks for those in our community who haven't heard about Jesus and are headed to an eternity apart from Him unless we somehow are able to reach them? So what is your motive? So we need to continuously pray, God, align my heart to yours. You want to pray a dangerous prayer? We did a series quite some time ago, but pray this prayer. Lord, let my heart break over the things that break yours. We need to pray like the psalmist prayed as he wrote the words, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What does that mean? In other words, the things that I long for, let the words of my heart, the meditation of my heart, the things that I long for, Lord, let them be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. Here's the second way to be more effective in prayer. Number two, don't try to earn God's answer. Don't try to earn God's answer. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 18, Daniel is praying. Listen to what he says to God. He says, we do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. And this verse contains an extremely profound truth about prayer. God answers our prayer because of His mercy, not because of our good works. Many Christians think that if they are good enough, that if they do enough good deeds, that it will somehow obligate or persuade God to act on their behalf. And while God does call us to live holy and set apart lives, it's not our obedience that moves God to answer our prayers. It is His great mercy and it is His love towards us. So we need to pray with the right motives. Don't try to earn God's response. Here's the third way to be more effective. Number three is this. Don't pray small prayers. Don't pray small prayers. For so many of us, we pray way too small of prayers. I think there's probably times when God gets frustrated over our lack of understanding of how truly great and how truly powerful He is. Our level of faith in God is revealed and exposed by the things that we pray for. So you want to ask yourself, well, how big is my faith in God? What are the things you're praying for? So many of us only pray things like this. Well, God, you know, thank you for this day, and I just pray that you'd bless me. And I just can't help but think that God's probably sitting up there and He's wondering, you know, have you even looked where you live? Have you even looked in at what part of the country or the world you live in? You're already blessed. You know, or we'll say, well, God, would you be with me today? And God's probably wondering, what more do they need? I already wrote in my book, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You're asking me for something that I already promised to give you, something that I've already placed in your hands. And I just can't help but think that there might be some time that God's sitting up there in heaven and he's waiting as we go into our prayer closet, the place that we pray to him. And he's like, come on, Andrew, give me something big. Ask me for something that will show off my glory when I answer it and respond to it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory. So many times we pray because we see how hopeless. We give up almost before we even pray because we see how hopeless the situation is. But I want you to watch this, that God is going to meet your needs not according to your provision. He's going to meet your needs not according to what you have in the bank account or not according to what you did to get the job or what degrees you have on the wall. He's going to meet the need according to his riches. In my prayer time, I'm praying over some large buildings that God would give to the Lifeway Church. In fact, they're so large that if I showed you, you'd just laugh at me, probably right in my face. Well, listen, God can do the impossible. And I want to ask him to do some things because when that building comes to us, we're going to say, yes, God, it was only you, and it's only your provision, and it's only your grace and mercy. Pray for big things. Here's the next key, number four. Number four, pray specific prayers. Pray specific prayers. All too often our prayers are general and they're vague. And so we'll come into, you know, those of you that serve on the Dream Team, you'll come in for our corporate time of prayer at 9:15 and we'll just walk around and we'll say things like, well, God, help us to have a good service today. You know, how many of you prayed like that? Probably not in that voice, but right? We've all been guilty, right? God, help us to have a good service. Time out. What does that even mean? What if instead we prayed, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would sweep through this room. Lord, let every single person who walks through these doors that is sick in their body, that they would walk out healed by the power of your Spirit. God, let someone who is suicidal and depressed be made whole because they have walked in this room and they encounter your love. Lord, let someone addicted and bound by drugs and alcohol and pornography leave here completely set free. Lord, let someone who's walked in this door that's never said yes to you before walk out having made a commitment to live and serve and follow you. God, restore broken marriages. Be specific. Some of you could feel that simple prayer of a specific reasons just resonating within your spirit. So I wonder if our lack of boldness to pray with specifics ever insults God. I wonder if he ever thinks, Andrew, I could have done so much more if you'd have just had the faith to ask. I want you to listen this morning. General prayers do not move God to specific actions. We need to ask God for specific things and have the faith to believe that he can do the impossible. We should pray prayers that are so specific that when they're answered, there's no way that anyone could deny that it was the hand of the Lord working and moving on your behalf. Amen. One of the things I encourage you to do is put together a journal where you write out specific requests. I've got mine up here. Mine's divided into four categories. I've got a tab here that says family, church, people, and personal. And each category has these reoccurring prayers that I pray over all the time. But I also have written very specific prayers. So as you can see here, through here, some of the specific prayers that I have, you'll see these pink highlights. Some of you might be able to see if you have really great vision, things highlighted in pink. And so what happens is every time God answers a prayer, I highlight that. And it builds my faith, because then when I go to pray, I'm looking through and, well, here's the answer. Here's the prayer that I'm praying. Lisa, right here, number three, that Jed Voller would come to know Jesus. I'm praying that, but guess what? I'm looking through and I see all these other ones in pink that God's already answered. And I know it's just going to be a matter of time when God does the impossible. And it builds my faith, because I've seen time and time again, over 30 specific prayers in the last probably 2 years, that God has answered. I remember a time, probably about 3 years ago, a young couple came to our church. They visited 3 or 4 times. We took them out to dinner. We had some discussion with them, and they were searching for a church home, and eventually they ended up deciding to go somewhere else. But over our course of the 3 or 4 weeks that we were communicating with them, it had come to our attention that they had been trying to have children for a long time. They had tried, you know, all the tests and all the things. They had done even some of the medical procedures, and they just were not able to have kids. And there was one day that she posted on her social media just how hurt her heart was, because she wanted to be a mother with all of her heart. And so I just felt God lead me to say, Andrew, you need to write that in your prayer journal. And so, of course, I wrote that, and I started praying over it. And then finally, after like a year and a half, I was actually moving my stuff over to this binder right here. And I'm reading through this, and I'm like, God, why am I still praying for this? They don't go to our church. They don't come here. I've not talked to them in over a year. God, why am I? God, like, I shouldn't even write this in my new book. This is silly, God. I'm having this argument over a simple prayer request that takes, you know, 8 seconds to pray over every day. And then 2 months later, I saw the post. She said, wanted to let you know we're expecting. We're beyond the danger time. They were 3 months past and naturally conceived their own baby. The baby was born just 3 or 4 months ago, healthy baby, and I was just so excited. Like, when I got the news, I almost, like, I wanted to jump up and down. I was so excited, because God is faithful. He's faithful. And so what I love about this is that when I look at the story of what God did for our friends, if he can help them to have a baby after years and years and years and years of trying, listen, I know that God can do the impossible in my life. And I know that he can do the impossible for our church. Amen. Here's the 15, number 5. Don't try to help God provide the answer. Don't try to help God. He is perfectly capable. When my kids were really young, it's been a long time since we've been in this season, probably in that 2 to 3 year old range. How many of you know, like, they always want to help mom or dad with whatever they're doing, right? Then they get older and you can't get them to do anything, right? That's another series too. Actually, go to Phil and Kelly's series. They're doing the parenting one. Maybe I need to attend that one. But when they were young, they would love to try to help me. And so you know, they'd see me pull tools out. Oh, let me help you, Daddy. And invariably, one of them would run over and they'd grab a pair of my shoes. You know, and they'd be putting on. They'd be, you know, kind of stumbling around and sort of walking around. And so I'd be working and I'd be like, okay. And I'd just tell them just to mess with them. Okay, get Daddy's tool bag. And they'd be like trying to pick it, like everything they can. They can't even, you know, lift it off the ground. They put all of their strength into it, but they just can't budge it. And guess what? In much the same way, we'll go before the Lord and we'll lay our petitions before him, because we're stuck. We can't do it on our own. But then we don't truly leave it to him. We try to take care of it with our limited strength and our own understanding. And what happens is we end up getting frustrated. And we don't trust that he'll answer them in the best way and at just the right time. And guess what happens when the answer doesn't come as quickly as we want, right? How many of you have been there when the answer doesn't come as quickly as we want? Our faith begins to waver and then we try to fix the situations ourselves. So I want you to hear me this morning. A great test of our faith is, are we willing to keep our hands off the situation until God deals with it? Our attempts to help him most often only result in making the situation worse. And so I want to encourage you this morning, let God be God. I'll be Andrew, let him be God. Right? Let God be God in your life. Here's number six, develop a lifestyle of prayer. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer is most effective when it isn't something we do every now and then, but rather when it's something we do all of the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs us this way. It says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. You may have noticed that I wear a black bracelet almost all of the time. I have it on almost all the time, any time I'm anywhere. And this bracelet says here, it's just two words. It says, pray first. And all this bracelet does, every time I look down at it, it serves as a reminder that I should take everything to God in prayer at all times. And because I want to help you with this, when you walk out today, I've got a couple of bracelets for everybody in the room that you can wear one and you can take with you as a reminder. So be sure to grab one of those as you leave, or a couple of those when you leave this morning. But let me give you three quick ways to develop a lifestyle of prayer. Now these aren't in your notes, but you can just jot these down in your margin real quickly. How do you develop a lifestyle of prayer? The first one is that you need to have a certain time. A certain time. Just like you have a time to work out. Okay, a few of us have a time to work out, right? A time to eat. We all have a time to eat, right? Some of us already think, man, I hope he shuts up soon because I'm really hungry and I'm getting hangry here in a second, all right? All right, we have a time to go to work. We have a time to pick up the kids from school. We have a time to do all the things that we do. And so I encourage you, mark it in your calendar. Set aside some time for you to meet with Jesus, all right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is to have a certain place. Having a designated place to pray helps us remove the distractions. In fact, I remember not too long ago, Scott was up here teaching about prayer. It seems like not too long ago. It may have been over a year ago, but I've heard him share a couple of times that his prayer place, and all of his grandkids know, it's the furnace room. It's where the furnace is. That's where Scott prays. For me, I pray in my basement as well. But for you, it might be a stairwell at work. It might be in your car. You might live close enough to the lake that you can walk down by the lake and just talk to God, all right? So have a designated place, because that helps us remove distractions. All right, here's the third thing, and that is we should also have a plan. Also have a plan. Have you ever started praying, and then after 25 seconds, you're like, God, okay, that was good. Now what? You're just sort of awkward. Like, come on, how many of you have been there before, right? Well, okay, five people that aren't liars in the church. Thank you very much, all right? You're like, you already asked me to raise my hand too many times today. This is a raise your hand church, all right? Listen, using a plan will help you stay focused in your prayer time fresh. And so in the prayer guide that you can download online, you can get it on the app, all the places that I mentioned, you can grab a hard copy as you walk out. You can get one after service. There are two plans that you can use to help direct your prayer time. I most often, probably 80% of the time when I pray, I use the Lord's Prayer as an outline. But in the guide, there's also the Tabernacle Prayer Plan that you can pray through. In fact, in just a few minutes, as an example of how to do this, I'm going to actually lead us through praying through one of these. But we need to develop a lifestyle of prayer. And then here's the last one. This one is so big. Number 7. This is so important. We need to address unresolved and known sin in my heart. Address unresolved and known sin in my heart. You know, we've all been guilty of times when the Holy Spirit has convicted and challenged us to deal with a sin issue in our life. But if you're anything like me, instead of dealing with it, so often what we tend to do is we tend to just push it aside. We try to push it away from us, and we say, you know what, God, not today. Not today, God. God, can't I deal with this another time? And so we brush it off, and then what happens is later we come before God, we get into our prayer place, our designated place to talk to God. And it just seems like the heavens are covered by an invisible force field. Like everything you pray, it goes up and it hits it and it just comes right back down. How many of you ever felt that way? Right? You could pray for hours on end and it just doesn't matter the words you say. You can read out of the Bible. It doesn't matter the words you pray. It just sort of hits this wall and it comes back down. We don't feel anything. And what happens is because God's Holy Spirit has moved on us and we've refused to deal with it, we've then lost our ability to connect with God. I want you to listen to this verse. It's so powerful. Psalms 66, 18 says this: if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So I want you to hear me this morning. Our undealt with sin is a massive hindrance to God's ability to hear our prayers. So you might be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Andrew, you know, if sin prevents God from hearing our prayers, then none of us have a chance because all of us sin. But I want to draw your attention to the word cherished in that verse. If I had cherished sin. To cherish sin means to embrace it, to love it, to hold on to it, to refuse to give it up. This is vastly different from committing a sin that we instantly regret and confess and forsake as soon as the Holy Spirit brings it to our attention. Listen, God doesn't expect for you or I to be sinless, but he does call us to deal with our sin. And so as I close here this morning, we're going to end our service. I want to say a little differently, but it's way differently than we've ever done. But before we do that, I just want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Because I believe before we move on any further, that there are some of you right now that you are one prayer away from changing the course of your eternal destiny. Some of you can sense that there is something happening spiritually that's drawing you to God. And even though you sense it, you may be feeling, well, what about this? Or I don't know quite enough yet. Or I'm not still good enough. Listen to me. God wants you to come to him exactly as you are. In fact, the Bible tells us that anyone who calls on his name will be saved, forgiven, and made new. And so that's why you're here now. You're one prayer away, one prayer of surrender and repentance away from changing the course of your destiny. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? That's me. I need the forgiveness of Jesus. I need his grace. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you. If that's your prayer, would you just lift your hands right now? Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lots of hands. Thank you, thank you. This is the best decision that you could ever make. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for the power of your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word says that you will never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. And Lord God, even in our sin-filled condition, Lord, even still, your mercy and grace is so great that you're drawing us. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to take my life, take my sin, wash me clean. I pledge to move towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands this morning? If any of you made that commitment and said yes to Jesus, down at the bottom of your connection card that Costanzio had you take out earlier, there's a box that says, my decision today. I'd love for you to mark that, drop that in the giving kiosk, because we just want to celebrate that with you. I want to quickly remind you to join us for Growth Track right after service and to sign up for your life group as well after service. Real quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here today. At the Lifeway, generosity is one of our core values. We have four ways to give. If this is your church home, we encourage you to follow God's financial plan. You can give online, text to give. There's a giving envelope. You can drop that in one of the green giving kiosks outside the door. But I'm just going to just push past that real quick. Because here's the deal. I purposely cut my message short this morning because I want to lead us as a way of teaching those who may not know how to pray using the Lord's Prayer as an outline. And so what I want to do is we're going to put it up on the screen. I realize you don't have the guide in front of you. You'll get that as you walk out the door. But what I want to do is I'm going to put up on the screen behind me just kind of how to walk through this. And then that way you're going to be able to sort of walk out of here and you're going to understand, you're going to know how do I use the Lord's Prayer. It's really interesting when you study the Lord's Prayer, when you read the verses that precede the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels, Jesus had just reprimanded the disciples for praying repetitious prayers, for praying them over. And he says, no, and stop just repeating these words that you've said since you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and all the prayers that you've learned over. I want you to use this as a prayer And so then he goes in and he says, and almost every Christian can quote this, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so what's ironic is all these years later, here we are, and what are we doing? The very thing Jesus said not to do. And so this prayer was actually given to us as an outline to help us pray, so that way when you go into your prayer closet, you're like, okay, God, I'm here. Thank you. All right, now what? And then we've all struggled there. So what I want to do here for the next few minutes is however you're comfortable. You can sit, you can stand. Some of you may want to come to the front. For me personally, when I pray, I'm a walker. And so so all of this, whatever you're comfortable with, I want you to do that. So if you're comfortable to pray and sit, if you like to stand and pray, however you're comfortable, I just want you to do this. But here's the deal. I'm going to lead us through this, but here's what I want. Whether you sit, stand, walk, or whatever you decide to do, bow, kneel, lay on the ground, whatever you want to do, I want you to activate your faith with mine. I don't want you to just listen to me pray, but I want you to jump into this with me, and I want you just to begin to pray this within your context, all right? And so we're going to do that. Is that all right? All right, all right. So those that want to stand can stand. Those of you that want to walk around can do that, but let's just pray together. The first part of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we connect with you relationally. Lord Jesus, you have not, Lord, your word tells us that you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Lord, instead you received, God, we've received your spirit when you adopted us as your own children. God, I am your child. Lord Jesus, and as your child, Lord God, today I call out to you. I cry out, Abba, Father, which simply means, Dad, I come to you. And Lord Jesus, I come to you in prayer today. Lord, I am thankful that I am your child. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord God, and I know that you have forgiven me, Lord Jesus, and you have adopted me as your own. And I am so grateful this morning, Lord Jesus, that in spite of all imperfect situations around me, that I can look to you. You are a perfect heavenly Father. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Lord, I love you so much today. Lord, I thank you today. Lord Jesus, your outline takes us and says, hallowed be your name. And so today, Lord, we just take a moment to worship your name. Lord, your word says that you are a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. And so, Lord Jesus, today I call to you, Lord Jesus. I worship you because you're righteous. You make us clean. Lord Jesus, I worship you because you're my sanctifier. You have called me and set me apart. Lord, I worship you today because you are my healer. You heal all of our diseases. Lord Jesus, you are great in victory. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Lord God, you speak to us and you lead us. Lord God, you are our peace. Lord God, you are our peace in every storm. Lord God, you are our provider. You always provide. Every time I've needed you, you're there, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I am in awe of you this morning. Lord, I praise you as my healer. I praise you as my shepherd. Lord, I praise you as my victory. You are my peace. You are my comfort. You are my shelter. You are the rock in the time of storm. You are my sanctifier. And Lord God, your name is great. And Lord Jesus, I worship you. You've been so good. You've been so faithful, Jesus. Lord, your word goes on and says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord God, before we go any further today, Lord Jesus, we stop to pray your agenda first. Lord, I know that there are some things in my life that I want to accomplish today, and there are some things in my life that I need to get done. But Lord Jesus, I recognize this morning that there's no better plan on earth than yours. And so, Lord Jesus, as your vessel, I'm asking you to use me. Lord, when that brokenhearted mother is at the checkout counter, Lord God, would your spirit speak to me to love her and to touch her and to be your hands and your feet? Lord Jesus, maybe my coworker on the job that's battling suicidal thoughts and depression, Lord, let me not be so busy that I just zoom right past them. But Lord God, let your spirit stop me and let me be your hands and let us be your feet, Lord Jesus. Lord, this world is lost. Lord, this world needs you desperately. And so, Lord God, I pray that every single person that I come in contact with, Lord God, that I would be your light, that you would shine through me, and that they would come to know you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the leaders you placed in my life. I pray for Matt Keller. I pray for Chris Hodges, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray for our spiritual leaders, Lord God. I pray for our government leaders, Lord God, the president, Lord God, the mayor, Lord Jesus, Lord God, the governor, Lord God, all of those who lead us, Lord God. I pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord God. I lift up my employer before you today, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Any of the leaders that you placed in my life, Lord Jesus, that you would move and that you would touch them, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to lead us, Lord Jesus. Lord, give them a revelation of your will. Give them a revelation, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you would do the miraculous in our country, that you would turn us towards you. Lord, we ask your will to be done today. Lord God, in going on, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And so, Lord, today we depend on you for everything. Lord Jesus, right now I pray protection over my wife and my children. Lord, protect them spiritually, protect them emotionally. Lord God, protect them, Lord Jesus, from danger, anything that would harm them. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would cover them, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray over my boys this morning. Lord God, that you would direct their paths to the right women, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that they'd be women, Lord God, that would bring them closer to you. Lord, wherever they sit, one day they're gonna walk down the aisle. Lord God, I pray that the perfect person is there, someone that will help them to achieve the calling that you placed on their lives. Lord, let them grow up to be men of integrity. Let them be men of integrity, Lord God, men of character. Let them be godly, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would direct their careers, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you'd put the right friends in their life. Lord Jesus, be with my boys. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you would protect and strengthen our marriage, Lord Jesus. Draw us close. Draw us closer than we've ever been before, because the enemy is a roaring lion. He's roaming to and fro, seeking to what he can destroy. And so, Lord God, I pray that Shiloh and I would become closer than we've ever been before, that we can be a power couple, Lord God, that can change lives for eternity. But let our marriage be strong, Jesus. Lord, we believe you. Lord God, I just pray over our church right now, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you would bless us, Lord God. Not just bless us with what we think we need, but Lord God, even more than we need, Lord God, that this church would be a clearinghouse for what you want to do. Lord God, that you would entrust us with finances and leaders and people, Lord God, that we can send them out and resource them to make a difference in this world, Lord Jesus. Lord, let our church be a blessing to others, Lord Jesus. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist to point others to you in all kinds of places, Lord Jesus. Lord, enlarge our territory, Lord Jesus. Give us influence. Lord God, I pray that every nationality, every tribe, and every tongue would feel welcome in this church. Every race, every creed, every background. Lord God, would you send them here? Give us the people that are broken and hurting, Lord Jesus. Let us minister to them. Give us influence, Lord. Help us to lead well, Lord Jesus. Lord God, and I pray over our church. We need your presence more than anything, Jesus, because what's the point of the songs and what's the point of the words if you don't sweep into this room and change lives and change hearts, Lord Jesus? We need you, Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would keep us as a church from harm. Lord God, protect us. Lord God, because as you begin to do what you want to do, the enemy is going to rise up against us. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would expose wolves in sheep's clothing, Lord God. Keep us free from scandal, Lord God. I pray that you would protect us as we're in this building, Lord Jesus. Lord, keep us from harm. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Every single one of our needs, Lord, you've provided. And Lord God, we depend on you. Lord God, I acknowledge that everything I need today will come from you, because you made the heavens and the earth. Lord God, you're more capable of handling any situation and any circumstance that I'm dealing with. And so, Lord, I give it to you completely. I trust your time and I trust your way. Lord God, I look to your hope and I look to the future and I look to the power that you placed on me. Lord God, thank you for taking care of my needs. Lord Jesus, your word says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would forgive and that we would receive forgiveness ourselves. Your word tells us that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and you're just to forgive us and purify us as all unrighteousness. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you today for offering me the gift of forgiveness. Lord God, show me any areas in my life that I need to bring to you, Lord God, to be clean from and to be set free, Lord Jesus. Lord God, if there's any areas in my life that I'm struggling with, Lord Jesus, I confess those to you. Addiction, you have no place. Pornography, you have no place. Lord Jesus, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, Lord God, whatever the struggle is, anger outburst, Lord, you have no place. And so, Lord, I bring these things to you today. Let me be clean again, Lord Jesus. Let my heart be right with others. And Lord, Father, as you have freely forgiven me, Lord, help me to freely forgive others. Lord, help me to let go of all of my offenses, the things that I'm holding inside, Lord God, because I release those to you. Because I want to be a pure vessel that you can use, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I trust you and I trust your way. Going on, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so, Lord God, in this moment, we engage in spiritual warfare. Your word says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so, Lord Jesus, I recognize that my struggles that I'm going to face today, the struggles that I'm going to face later this week at work, aren't against the people or the circumstances around me, but it's against the enemy. And Lord God, I pray that you would let us be aware of what the enemy is trying to do and how he's lying to us, Lord God, that we would recognize his lies and that we would take those things captive. And Lord God, that we would make all of our thoughts to the truth and obedience of your word, Lord Jesus. So Lord God, what the enemy wants to bring in my life to destroy me, Lord Jesus, I come against that and I bind that, Lord Jesus. Lord God, what the enemy wants to use to bring me down, Lord God, I step up as your child. I am a prince or I am a princess as your child. You are the King of Kings. And so, Lord God, I use my authority by the power of your name to bind those things and put them into subjection to you, Jesus. Lord, I don't have to fear the enemy because the one who is in me, you who are in me, is greater than he that is in the world. And finally, Lord Jesus, today we express faith in God's ability, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord Jesus, all of these things that we prayed here today, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. All authority is yours. All might is yours. All things are possible. And Lord God, I know that your victory will be complete in my life. I know, Lord Jesus, that you have a plan for me. And Lord God, you're going to bring me to that. And so, Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I give you glory.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.